Hello, my name is Daniel Moth, and in this short video I'd like to show you how we are enabling developers who adopt the task-based programming model to have a first-class debugging experience in Visual Studio 2010. So whether you're approaching this as a managed developer through TaskPar library, Parallel Link and stuff like that, or from native code through things like the Parallel Patterns library, PPL, and the concurrency runtime or agents, the debugging windows work in the same way. So let's go and have a look. The way I'm going to show you this today is through this .NET 4 console application that has a single code file and has a whole bunch of methods there which have just a single letter just to keep things simple. So this is the same application I showed when I demonstrated the parallel stacks window in a previous screencast that I highly encourage you to watch. So what we're going to do is I'm going to hit F5 and we're going to hit 4 breakpoints, and at each breakpoint I'm going to make some points about the features that we're offering. So here we've hit the first breakpoint, and this indeed is the parallel stacks window that I explained completely in a separate video, so I'm not going to be explaining the same features again. What we can see at the at this first breakpoint is that we have four different threads, and when we look at the call stacks for those threads, whether we do it in the call stack window or whether we do it in the parallel stacks window, we can see that all four threads here, they all actually have on their non-user code things like task.executeEntry, and they start in the threads pool, they go into some task code which is in the systemThreading.tasks task class. So this gives me a clue that this application actually is not using threads, it is using tasks, and tasks of course ultimately execute on threads. But if you have written your code in terms of tasks, that's what you want to debug it in. You don't want to be seeing threads, you want to be focusing at the task level, just a step up in the abstraction layer. So indeed I can tell you, because I know this, that all these four threads are running tasks, but rather than look at the threads window, what we can do is we can go to another new debugger window, the parallel tasks window. And you can find this from the Windows Parallel Tasks. So in this window what we see is tasks. So it's very similar layout to the threads window, but we look at each entry being a task. So tasks have their own ID, so I can see that here that the ID 1 is the one that actually hit the breakpoint when we stopped. The managed tasks have their own ID. If this was a native example, here you'd be seeing the address of the task, the actual memory address. So that's the ID column. What we can also see is the status. So there's various states that tasks can be in, and right now I can see that all these are running. So when I stopped, they were actually executing code right at that moment in time. What I can also see for the task is something that I couldn't see anywhere in the threads window, which is the entry point. So this says that when you created this task, you passed to it a delegate that was pointing to a method A, and you also gave the argument 1. Right? So that's where this task started its life, which we can also confirm by looking at the actual stack frame. So all of them started in A. This is the first non-user code, and I can see the parameters that were passed, 1, 2, 3, 4, which corresponds to here, the 1, 2, 3, 4. So I can see the entry points and the arguments for the minor scenario. For the native scenario, you can just see the entry points, not the parameters passed. And finally, of course, tasks, like we said, when they're running, they're executing on threads, so I can see the thread assignment, that is the name and the actual ID for that thread. Now, you saw me switch earlier, so if I double-click, I can actually switch between different tasks, and that changes, of course, the thread as well. So this is consistent. So 40 is 60. If I go to the threads window, that indeed is the one that has the yellow arrow. If I go and switch to another one, let's say the 5400s, and I go back here, you'll see that that has also switched. Now, when we switch tasks, obviously the stack frames, the threads, or everything, the window, everything updates in the debugger. But also, what you see is the yellow icon is what shows us where the current task is. The white halo arrow shows us what task was current when you broke into the debugger. And again, that is consistent with the threads window that also has this new feature, which shows you which thread was current when you broke into the debugger. So you can see that information there in that column. The column that I haven't talked about is the location column, which shows you where you are right now, so the top frame in the task. But when you go and hover over it, it shows you in a stack tip the actual call stack for that task. And notice that call stack is trimmed. It's not the same as what you see in the call stack window for the threads. it's actually, or in the parallel stacks window for the threads, it's trimmed because we consider that when you create a task, you pass it an entry point, and that's where it starts its life. So we don't want to show you the noise, the non-user code that preceded A, for example. Now, I call this a stack tip versus rather than calling it a tooltip, because you can go here and switch actual frames. So if I double click here, I'm switching the stack frame for that task. So it's a very nice, convenient shortcut for you to switch frames from within the parallel task window. And the same stack tip comes up also if you hover up there on the icon column. The actual things that you see in the location in the stack tip, the actual detail of information, is exactly the same as what you see in the call stack window. And that is because we have a single place where we configure all the settings, the call stack window. So I could show here module names, so I can see moth.exe. I could go and show things like the parameter name, so I can see that O is equal to 1. And when I go back here and I see at the location stack tip, I'll see that that reflects those settings that I've done, just like the parallel stacks window does. So I'll just get rid of those again for screen real estate considerations, given the resolution I'm running at here. So other things you can do here, and you can tell from the icon, is you can sort. So if I click, the icon shows me which column I'm sorting on, and the direction of the triangle shows the actual direction that the sorting has taken place. I can go and reorder. So I could go and drag this column, or any column indeed, and just reorder and place exactly where I want it to be. So the standard things you would expect from a rich list view. So that's the first breakpoint in telling you some of the basic features of the parallel task window. Of course, I claimed at the beginning we want to raise the layer of abstraction when you're debugging to be the same as what when you're programming. So why, although we have the parallel task window, here you're seeing threads in the parallel stacks window? Well, that can be changed. So last time I talked about all the features, except for I didn't show you the task view. So we have here a task view that will show you the call stacks from a task's perspective. So let's think before I switch to that what that means. Well, one thing we know already is that we want to trim all that information. I don't want to see this because this is thread-related information. It's not task-related. So I would want this to start from A to B to C, and I want it to say up here four tasks. Also, this thread here, the main thread, that's not running any tasks. So I want this to automatically disappear. And indeed, that's what happens when I go and switch to the task view. So much more concise view that shows me four tasks, and I can see again the information in there. Now, you'll remember when I hover over here, I can see thread IDs. Well, now I can see task IDs, 1, 2, 3, 4. The same is true when I go up here. I can see the actual IDs for the tasks, 1, 2, 3, 4. Additionally, both in the header nodes and in the tooltip, I can see the status of these tasks, not just their IDs, but also the status. So this tells me that at least one of these tasks is running. Since there's no other nodes here, all four tasks are obviously running. Let me go and hit the second breakpoint so we can talk about more features here. So as I go and hit the second breakpoint, what we see down here in the parallel task window, let's focus here first if we can, we see that two of the tasks have actually changed their state. So instead of being running, now they're showing as waiting. And this information you couldn't easily deduce by just looking at the threads window, which is why, you know, another value that the task window adds. And not only it says waiting, it's got a little question mark there. So if I go and hover over this status, I can see exactly what's happening. So here it's saying that task 2 is waiting on an object. And that object is of type S, and it's owned by thread 1232. So 1232 is this thread down here. So I guess task 4 is the one that has that object actually already, and this guy is just waiting on it. And if I go and switch to it, we'll see that indeed it's waiting there on a monitor enter, which is we can also is what's wrapped by the lock keyword in C# or the sync lock keyword in VB. If I go and see the other waiting, this is a different tooltip. So here it says that task 3 is waiting on object task 4, which is owned by thread 1232. So 1232, again, is the same thread down here. So this task is the one that this guy is waiting on. And if I go and switch to him, indeed, we can go and see in the code that it says t4.wait. So there's a reference somehow to this task, and it's waiting on it. So the task API is rich. It exposes directly waiting operations. And the same would be true in a native scenario. We'd be using task groups, and you have wait operations there, and would be showing those relationships here as well. So that is really cool that we can see the actual status of tasks in the parallel task window. If we switch our focus to the parallel stacks window, again, if you were in the threads view, there wouldn't be many clues here. You'd have to go and look at actual stack frames and maybe get some clues as to what is happening. But when we go and look at the task window, the clues are very obvious, kind of in your face, if you like, in a good way. that you can see that here, this node has at least one task that is waiting. And there's only one task in it, so obviously that is the one that is waiting. And up here, so it's the two is the task that is waiting, which corresponds to this down here. And up on the other task, I can see that again, there's one waiting task. The icon tells me there's at least one waiting task in the node, and since there's one, that is all. And that is the task 3. So even if I didn't have this window open and I was just looking at the parallel stacks, I would have my clues here, and that would help me to actually go into the task window and get the detailed information on what we're waiting on. So that's another nice feature, like I said, for both windows. Now, before we continue to the third breakpoint, I mentioned earlier reordering, sorting, and so on. The other thing you can do is you can right-click anywhere on the column header, and then you have here the ability to hide columns if you're not interested in them, or indeed add them. So, for example, there's an app domain column which will show you the app domain. All my tasks are running in the same one, so I've hidden it here for screen real estate considerations. But if you have tasks in multiple app domains, you'd be able to see which one it is. And you can also see the parent column. So let me just bring that in, because the next breakpoint will make that interesting. Right now, we don't have any parent information. So let's go and hit that third breakpoint and see what's happening. So we hit the third breakpoint, and indeed we can see now we have a new task, task 5, and its parent is task 4. So in the manage world, this is only applicable for the manage world, there is a notion of parent-child relationships. And if we can detect those, we will actually show them here, so we'll tell you that this is what's happening. What you can also do is you can switch the view to focus on these structured relationships. So again, right-clicking on any column, I can go here and say, show me the parent-child view. And when I do that, I can actually see that we have this icon so that I can collapse and expand. I could have multiple parent-child hierarchies over here, and I can go and focus on those in a more visual manner, seeing that it's task 4 that has the child, task 5, rather than just relying on the raw data over there. If I want to get out of parent-child view, I can right-click and just go to flat view, or indeed I could have done that simply by clicking on any column and sorting on it. That takes us out of the parent-child view. So we have the parent-child, but also besides this task 5 being a child of something else, what's interesting is that we can see we have 5 tasks. There's a 5th one that was born somehow. If we go and look at the threads window, that is still showing me 4 threads. So again, just by looking at threads, you're not able to get that rich information. And the reason we've seen 5 tasks, even though we have 4 threads, again, you can tell that here in the parallel task window. Look at the thread ID. The thread ID is the same. So actually, these 2 tasks are executing on the same thread. Now, of course, a thread can only execute code represented by 1 task at a time, which means that this is at the top of the stack of the thread, whereas this one is further down. So when you have multiple tasks on a thread, only the top one will be running. The others further down are blocked, waiting on something. So that's how we explain what's happened over here. And indeed, if we go and look at it, what's happened is while task 4 was executing, it created another task, task 5, and then it waited on it. And that is why that thread was reused to actually run it, the child that it just created. That's the notion of parent-child relationships in a nutshell. Now, I mentioned that these two are on the same thread. Let's see how we could see this if we were in the if we're looking at threads call stack. So I'm just going to switch here to the threads view, and let's maximize this so we can focus on it a bit better. So what I can see here is that we have from KLO, we went into some non-user code and then we went out into user code. And there's many ways you can interpret this. In this particular scenario, this is what has happened. If I go and switch to the task view, and I don't have to switch from here, I can just right-click and say go to task. We'll see that this is exactly where this task is. So it's gone ABC, IJ, KLO, and then it's waiting. That's where this task ended. Let me go back to the thread. There was some non-user code, and then when we go to the first user code, let me go there, this is where that is. So that's a separate task. So in the tasks view, we separate those out so you can clearly see where your tasks are without having to think in terms of threads. Now, there is a clue here. You can see the blue path. That is showing me that the task, the current task, which is task 4, is here. But I can see that the active stack frame, the yellow arrow, for the thread that this task is running on is somewhere else. And this is a clue that there's some causality here. These are related. They're running on the same thread. But again, that's a clue. The parallel task window makes it explicit. You will not always have that. If I switch here, of course, then the highlight goes there, and that's all you see. This task is running on a thread which has the active stack frame in it. I can tell from the header node that is running, and so on. Now, as I was showing you those two different views, another thing you will have noticed here is we don't just trim at the bottom, we also trim from the top. So this task, so if we just switch to it, so this guy is task 3, so if I just switch here, task 3, you'll see that we show task weight, but if I go to the threads, that has more information further up. So what we do in the task view, again, to keep it all very focused, we trim away all the non-user code except one. One is enough, really, to say, look, that's going in non-user code. If I really want to focus on that, I'll just go to the thread view. And the same thing happened here. If I go and switch to the task, we actually trimmed the non-user code frames above this, right? Because you're not really interested in that while you're debugging. If you are, though, if you're actually debugging the framework itself, of course, like I said, you can just switch to the threads view, and you can have the raw view of things. Now I'm going to go to the fourth breakpoint, so I'll just hit the 5 again, the fourth and last. And what we see here, let's focus again in the parallel task window, is quite interesting. We've seen running and waiting tasks before, but we've seen two different status appear here. So one is waiting deadlocked. So waiting deadlocked that task 3 and 4 have is basically a specialization over the waiting detection that we do. So if we detect two or more tasks that are waiting, and we can detect that there's a chain there in terms of how they're waiting for each other or in synchronization objects that each other own and are waiting on, then we'll say, well, there's a deadlock here at this moment in time. And if you go and hover over those, of course, you'll see that task 3 is waiting on task 4 and the thread that it's running on. And if I go on task 4, we'll see that's waiting on task 3. Hence, we have here a circular weights, and that is the chain, and we can say that, look, these are deadlocked. If this was a native scenario, the other things we detect from a weighting perspective are all the weight chain traversal stuff that Vista and higher operating systems support. So we'll show you even more weighting states than what we do here in Manage, where we just look at the monitor object and the task weights, the explicit weight API when you use that. So that's the weighting information you see there. The other status we're seeing is scheduled. So scheduled is a task which you've created and called start on it. So if you don't call start, we can't detect those. They're just memory bugs and nothing else. So when you call start, then these tasks have gone actually in some queue, and we can mine those queues, and we can find them and present them here to you. So you can see their ID. You can see the entry point. So there were all these are going to start in T with various different arguments, one of them within a string 10, whereas the others are integers. And we can see the parent. So there's a parent-child relationship here. Let me go and switch to that. And we'll see that it's task 2 that has gone and created all these 5 tasks that are scheduled. So if I was to continue running, you would see that each one of these would execute slowly but surely. So that's the other status that you can see, the scheduled information. You saw me here switching parent-child view. The other thing you can do is you can go and right-click on any column and choose to group by it. So one way you could group is by status. So if I group by status, we get to see the counts. And in this case, I can see the running, for example, scheduled. If I was to group by location, then we would see that these 5 don't have a location. They're scheduled, so obviously don't have a location or a thread assignment. And I could see that all the others are in different places, except for these two, actually. They're both in R right now. So let's go and group by status again, because what I want to show you is that if I don't care about running, I can collapse it. I don't care about schedules, I can collapse that. Or waiting, let's collapse that as well. And as I'm collapsing these, if I was to step, these counts here would update. So I can still keep an eye on some column grouping that I've done. I can keep an eye on how many tasks are added or removed from that grouping without having to pay the screen real estate cost. So this is a way to manage scale, really. So another thing, talking about scale, that you can do in the task window, I showed this for the threads view of the stacks window. I'll show it now for the tasks view of the stacks window. And that is, you can go and filter by flagging. So I can say here, show me only the flagged tasks. And this says the parallel task window has no flagged items, which is true. And if I go and just flag one, we'll see that that appears up there. If I go and flag another, we'll see that one appears up there as well. And I can go and switch to these to give them the blue highlight and so on. So flagging, which we support for the threads view using the threads window, we also support for the tasks view using the parallel stacks window. And if you have grouped things and you found the grouping that you're really interested in, you can just group it all in one go by clicking on that button. And that brings them all into place, which is a nice little shortcut that I'm sure you're going to find useful. You could have grouped on thread, for example, and just want to see all the tasks running on that one thread, and so on. So, before we close down this video and I stop recording, other things that I haven't shown you here is we've looked at the column context menu and all the things up there. What we haven't seen is the context menu on the items. So if we just right-click there, you'll see we have copy, and that will copy to the clipboard all the information in that row. You can go and select all in order to perform some aggregate operations, such as copying. You can switch to hexadecimal display. This is a global debugger setting that all Windows have. So you can go and do that. You can switch to a task. That's the same as double-clicking effectively, so it makes the task and its thread current. You can go down here and flag and unflag, so it's very shortcuts, which is the same as using the column up there. Now, the other thing you can do is you can go and freeze threads. So if I would say here, freeze assigned thread, what happens is we get this little pause icon, which means that when I continue executing, this thread will not continue. I'm sure you know this. When you step or you continue until you hit the next breakpoint or whatever in the debugger, all threads execute at the same time. And it's kind of a random which one is the one that's going to which is going to be current when you stop next. Well, what you can do is you can say, I don't want this thread to progress. I want to keep it there. And this allows you to do your own context switching effectively as such intrusive form of debugging. Now, the other thing you can do, in addition to just freezing one thread, is you can just freeze all but this. And what that does, it freezes all the threads except for the one that you selected. So this allows you to single step into that thread only and perform your debugging. So if I just go and select all and I say thaw, I can actually get rid of that freezing the blue pause icon. And I think that covers what I wanted to show you about the parallel task window. Please watch the other video if you haven't already on parallel stack so you can understand a bit more about what's going on in that view. And please go and download Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 so you can go and play with both of these windows and send me feedback at daniel.moth@microsoft.com. Thank you.